He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Do you care about my city?
What do you,
because I'm an anarchist.
Are you an anarchist?
Did you call me one? Do you know anything about me?
I see you.
No, you don't see me. What do you see?
I see him.
I'm a Jew. What do you see?
Get his face in my face.
Yes.
And he's trying to stop me from doing my job.
And I'm telling white America, stop not giving a damn about black people. Don't call me an anarchist. Don't call me an agitator. Call me a goddamn American. Can you do that? No, you can't. That's why your nose got broken the first time, because you're sticking it in shit you ain't got no business in. Go home. Go to your wife. Go to your children. Get out of our city if you're not here to care about us. You don't care. You smiled the entire time. Your face is on national, on every website now. And you called me an anarchist.
That's why you're here.
You called me an anarchist.
That's why you're here.
I didn't participate in any of that.
That's why you're here.
White America. Fox News.
That's why you're here.
White America.
Don't push me. Don't ever push me.
You pushed me yesterday on national TV. No. Until you leave. You're not leaving now. You want to come back? Answer the question.
I want to talk to someone else.
My own stalker. Baltimore still tense and rowdy, Gnome. More or less, despite the shoving match and a couple of fist fights last night, more or less peaceful. I have to give kudos to the local congressman and the state Senate majority leader who came out into the community to calm things down and make sure people honored the 10 p.m. curfew. It was quite impressive to see. And it was ironic to me, Gnome, that as the protests over the death in police custody of 25-year-old Freddie Gray, we've all been talking about it, has now spread to New York City and several other places across the country, including Washington, D.C., Seattle, Minnesota had some also, Chicago. It is more action there in New York. Noam, you had 120 arrested, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big night here. It started Union Square with a protest, and what was so different this time than the protest you'll remember back in December and last summer over Eric Garner was the police used different tactics this time. They brought out the bullhorns, and they repeated over and over again they weren't going to let people walk the streets like they did in the protest back in December, where they were much more open, letting people take to the streets before they have to do something a little bit more intense than take to the streets before they were arrested. This time, last night, they warned them, if you step onto the sidewalk, blot the sidewalk, or if you block the roadway, we will arrest you. And lots of people tested that out last night, and they arrested. I think the number will go up. This was 120 as of like 2 this morning.
Do you have any sound of what happened last night?
I do. I can hear play you some of the protesters that
were out and about last night.
Here we go.
Trying to do is demonstrate something, a peaceful demonstration. I understand things can be agitated at times, but at the end of the day, we're not doing anything but walking.
And nobody's winning in this situation, but I need to show my support. And when I heard about this rally, I said there's no other place that I need to be but here.
We still believe this country can be better. That's why we're out here protesting.
They didn't even let us cross the street. As soon as we got there, they stopped us. And we tried to go this way, and they stopped us. I'm not black, but I'm minority. I'm next. I'm Brazilian, and this affects everybody. If you're not white, this is a problem for you. It doesn't matter. It's beyond.
What about them breaking his neck and breaking his spine? Those people in Baltimore are starving. Baltimore looks like Brownsville in 1986 today.
You may be right about that Brownsville reference there, Noam, but what did that crowd look like? I mean, it sounds like most of the people interviewed there were minorities, but was this a community organized crowd? Was this a bunch of college kids? Was this all, Occupy Wall Street? What was this?
Well, I wasn't there, but I can tell you from what I saw anyway, it seemed like it was all over the place. You had young and old, somewhat like it was back in December. It seemed like probably a fair amount of the same people who were back protesting in December over Eric Garner were back out protesting over Freddie last night.
Did they close the tunnel? Did Lincoln Tunnel get closed again?
You know, it didn't get closed. They made their way to the Holland Tunnel, actually, then to the West Side Highway. But the people that made it there were arrested pretty much on the spot.
You know, I have to say, I think the cops did the demonstrators, or at least the cause, a favor in arresting the most agitated of the agitators, because the more they inconvenience people not involved in this protest, the more someone trying to get home can't get home, the more a business doesn't get trade because they're blocking the entrance, the more resentment they generate and the less effective their protests. So I think the cops did them a favor, and it sounds like the NYPD did a superb job. They did a great job here, too. You have the Baltimore City cops, Baltimore County cops, sheriffs. You have many jurisdictions in Maryland still represented here. You have the New Jersey State Troopers are here, and I know that Governor Chris Christie, who's got a lot on his plate now with your news about Bridgegate, et cetera, has, you know, he had his press conference there interrupted by some protesters who were upset that New Jersey sent troopers down here to Baltimore to help keep the peace in this troubled city, where arson raged and businesses were destroyed, homes as well. You know, an elderly a senior center also grievously damaged. This is a community that in 1968 was absolutely ravaged by awful rioting following the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. They say in Baltimore that Baltimore still suffers the scars from that long ago uprising or riot, whatever you call it. So you have a situation here where this city staggered, finally pulling itself off the canvas, getting itself made a tourist destination with the whole downtown area, the inner harbor, and a lot they've done to attract tourists. They've got the Ravens here. They've got the Baltimore Orioles. But how stark a visual is it when they play at Camden Yards, one of the great ballparks in Major League Baseball? They play the Chicago White Sox yesterday, and nobody is allowed in the stadium for the first time in the history of Major League Baseball. You play a professional game that counts, and the paid attendance is zero. Not just the paid attendance, the actual attendance, zero, except for a couple of relatives and press attracted by this weird phenomenon. But I tell you, Noam, this is what's going down here. You alluded to this Washington Post report that this man, Freddie Gray, may have died of self-inflicted injuries, that he was mentally unstable, he had physical problems, that he was acting out in the back of that police van, and that he somehow managed to break his own spine and crash his own larynx. And their source is a prisoner. I mean, as an attorney, as a former legal services attorney, as the former lawyer for the Young Lords, I have to say, when people get banged up in police custody, the first defense is always, oh, they did it to themselves to make the cops look bad. I don't think that is going to fly. But I tell you what, I have information from an eminent surgeon at Johns Hopkins University Hospital, which, of course, is based here in Baltimore. It's, I think, the largest employer. It dominates the economy here in Baltimore, not just the hospital, but also the fine university. He has told me something that makes a lot more sense to me than this claim from this prisoner who shared a ride to jail with Freddie Gray, that the 25-year-old who subsequently died was trying to injure himself before he died of these unexplained spinal cord injuries. And what I want to do is give you what I think is a far more logical explanation for how this 25-year-old tragically died while in police custody. Well, he didn't die. His back was broken and his larynx crushed, and he died after a couple of days of intensive medical care. And I think that people that were expecting an autopsy to be released on Friday, they are disappointed. So I tell you what, I'm going to tell you what I think happened to Freddie Gray, or a much more logical explanation. And I get it from, again, a very eminent source. I'm going to tell you about that. And then I'm going to tell you also about that expected autopsy that was initially announced to be released on Friday, what the real schedule is going to be here in Baltimore. We will, ladies and gentlemen, also give you the big picture about what to expect in New York City from this very real protest. The President of the United States is speaking about it. So are some of the Republican presidential candidates. I saw Senator Ted Cruz accuse President Obama of dividing Americans by race and by social and economic class. We'll discuss and debate that as well. I want you all to get involved in this discussion. It affects all of our lives. 866-HERALDO is the number. Those developments, those very important developments, those dramatic developments in the Freddie Gray case and related tumult in New York and elsewhere around the country after this.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it, HERALDO 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
My daughters, when they walk in my house, every one of my kids I got, they walk in my house at 10 p.m., I need your phone on my address.
We're going to jump away. We can. I'm sorry.
All right,
about
that's Ray Lewis, the Super Bowl MVP. CNN is carrying his speech live. He's visiting a Baltimore school. He's had his own problems, Ray Lewis. Remember, he was involved in that. He was, some witness. I don't know what his role was in a homicide. Not involved in a football, but he had his own. I don't have it in front of me, the details, but he got that behind him, went back to play football, became the MVP of the Super Bowl. Now he's a very big man around Baltimore, and he's come back. Even though the NFL draft, I guess, is tonight, he's come back. He's visiting Baltimore schools and trying to get the kids straight over everything that's going on here. Welcome back to 77 WABC. HERALDO here, along with Noam Layden. We're covering all of the disruption in New York and Baltimore and elsewhere, related most recently to the death of 25-year-old Freddie Gray. And the big news is this report leaked to the Washington Post that quotes a prisoner who is riding in the van with the tragic victim of whatever. Certainly he died while in police custody. Well, he died in the hospital, but he was his back was broken in police custody, and he has caused no end of heartache here in Baltimore, and now New York is suffering. Now Washington, D.C. had its own problems. There's a demonstration today in Philadelphia, I've heard, and this I'm sure will gather. So you have this report leaked to the Washington Post that indicates that Gray was in the police van banging against the walls and intentionally trying to injure himself. Now, the prisoner who says that says also that he could not see what Freddie Gray was actually doing because they were separated by a metal partition in the prison van. However, the prisoner who remains in prison, they have promised him anonymity, which makes me very suspect. But basically, he is saying that Freddie Gray killed himself, that he was a nut job who flailed about in the police van and broke his own spine. I think that that is bogus. I think that that report, even though the Washington Post is so credible, I believe that they are reporting what the prisoner said. I just believe that their source is not right. The fact that he severed his own spinal cord, it sounds a little hinky. It sounds like a lot of other stories I've heard over the years, people who have suffered injury in police custody. But I got a note last night at about 11 o'clock that I want to share with you from an eminent physician at the very well-regarded, world-renowned Johns Hopkins University Hospital. Johns Hopkins is not only one of the finest medical institutions in the world, it also dominates the economy. It's very important to Baltimore. He told me, and he wrote this to me, and we have subsequently spoken to him. I promised him that I won't mention his name. I have it, and we've spoken to him. We verified that it is indeed this person. But this is what he wrote to me. Despite the Washington Post report that a prisoner indicated that Freddie Gray may have done, quote, self-inflicted damage to himself in the van by thrashing around, I believe this theory is absolutely false, in caps. A much more credible explanation is that Freddie Gray had a seizure. It is a well-known fact that seizures can occur in asthmatic patients like Freddie Gray who are under stress, as Freddie Gray was. Please note that seizures are involuntary acts of uncontrollable muscle activity, which can result in spinal cord injury, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. So he's a proud Baltimore physician citizen and he wants me to have the medical details before any more spreading of this false report happens. So according to this eminent physician, a surgeon at Johns Hopkins, it is a much more likely explanation for Freddie Gray's fatal injury was that because he is an asthmatic patient who had a lot of mental and physical problems, he was definitely under stress. He had a seizure, an involuntary act of uncontrollable muscle activity that resulted in Freddie Gray's case in spinal cord injury that resulted in death.
You know, doctor, I don't mean to interrupt you, but your doctor, Siegel, what's his first name? I'm blanking.
Right, Mark Siegel.
Mark Siegel was on Fox this morning saying it would be impossible for him to have caused the injuries to himself that the Washington Post is claiming happened.
I absolutely agree with you. When you think about it, think of all the prisoners who've been banged up, beat up, bones broken, and they say they did it to themselves. I mean, we could talk, you can begin with Mark Furman and take it from there. You know, the cops in urban situations can get very, very rough with the people that they encounter.
Geraldo, live, local, today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
Police departments themselves need to understand that if they want to be successful and create a safer environment for their officers, then they've got to build more trust. And it's in their interest to root out folks who aren't doing the right thing, to hold accountable people when they do something wrong.
I grew up here, this sad town. I grew up here, man. Man, I've seen what these police been doing. And look, I'm 48 years old, and I've seen it. These kids right now, I know Monday was bad and all that, but you know what? That's how frustration comes about when every time they kill somebody, man, they kill one of these brothers out here and whatnot, and then they go on news and say, well, he had a record, so it's okay. No, it's not okay. They do a lot of cruddy stuff.
Let me ask you this. Do you think what happened here is helpful to this community? What happens now? What happens to the people that you care about now with all this destruction and all the rest?
Let me get this straight. I don't think that what happened Monday was good. But you know what, though?
Let this man talk.
I don't think that it was okay what they did Monday. But you know what, though, man? If it brought national news to what we've been trying to say to these people in Baltimore this whole time, so be it. That's what it had to take for people to listen to us in Baltimore. We can talk about the mayor, the governor, and everything, but I'm telling you some good stuff, man. I've lived here all my life.
All right, Noam, there you have a guy, a nice fellow, obviously profoundly unsettled by what happened. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get to your calls at 866-RALDO momentarily. But here's this this middle-aged guy with a job, a respectable-looking fellow, saying that it took the riots to bring attention to the inequities and the injustice, and the injustice, and the fact that you have a neighborhood that has not evolved at all. I mean, just taking the Amtrak, you see, you know, parts of Northwest Baltimore. It looks like, you know, you wonder why. I do remember Brownsville, and I do remember Central Brooklyn when they started, you know, what they did in New York. They knocked those derelict buildings down. They used to say in Ocean Hill, Brownsville, that you could fire a shot at one point to go a mile before there'd be anything that it would hit after they started, you know, before urban renewal came demolition. That's what they have to do here. I mean, it seems to me that 3/4 of the buildings in some of these neighborhoods in Baltimore, and the same thing in East Cleveland, same thing in downtown Detroit and other post-industrial, post-manufacturing era cities in the Northeast, particularly these Rust Belt towns, they got to demolish these buildings. You know what's happening, Noam? They have the hedge funds buying up these old buildings, speculating that the government is going to do something and they'll make a killing because they're getting the buildings dirt cheap, and they're not knocking them down. You know, they cover the windows, they cover the doors with plywood. The junkies come, they rip the plywood off, they squat, they use it as shooting galleries and whatnot. You know, what chance does a kid have here to grow up? No dad in the home. You grow up in a situation where your mom has children from multiple dads. You know, there's no jobs here. What chance does that 15-year-old have of not becoming a member of the Bloods and the Crips and some of these other organizations? It is, Noam, I'm telling you, a very difficult situation here, and it is a national crisis. You know, it is tragic to me that he may be right that the riot is what it took to bring America's attention. I condemn it, obviously. I don't know if these people will ever recover in the lifetime of the current residents of the community, when you particularly remember what I said about the April 1968 riot that they barely recovered from, if that. That's a long time ago, Noam.
Yeah, and, you know, you wonder, what can we blame it on? Is it, you know, of course, last night they wanted to blame you and they wanted to blame Fox News, but was it the manufacturing jobs that all left in the 60s and 70s and went overseas, those good jobs that even somebody who was poor, they could still make it by? They may be able to pay the rent, may be able to even own their own home. And all those jobs are gone, all overseas now. So where do these people find jobs in places like West Baltimore?
That's Noam Lane. I'm Geraldo. I'll tell you where they find jobs, Noam. They find jobs. The Bloods and the Crips become the parents. They become the fathers anyway. And the industry is drug dealing. That is the main employer in this West Baltimore neighborhood. It is drug dealing. It's the Bloods, the Crips, and a couple of other groups that I forget. I forget what they are. But they are the employer of first resort. They are the surrogate parent. They provide a social structure, however, you know, destructive it is. They end up in jail, if not dead. You know, there are a couple of murders here in Baltimore last night that nobody's covering because it wasn't in the hood that burned down. You know, this is I really believe, ladies and gentlemen, you know, liberal, conservative, you know, red, blue, whatever you are, purple, wherever you stand on the political spectrum, we have to cop to the fact that this exists in our land, that it affects millions of lives, and it occasionally erupts into this kind of situations. Well, I mean, you have the cops. What, you know, the cops, and in Baltimore, here you have a police commissioner who's black, a mayor who's black, city council, majority black, 40% or more of the police officers are black, but they don't live down there. And they come in and they see these people, and the people are acting out in the worst possible way. The cops respond, in a way that they want to protect the law and order. Some of them are, they got that tiny fringe who have a sadistic edge to them, or who are frustrated by what they say, whatever it is, or who get their own, dignity insulted by some of these people, and they respond. Okay, I've talked enough now. All right, now we're going to start. Anthony, you in Brooklyn, you're first. 866 Geraldo, you get involved right now, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Anthony. Hey, man, thanks for calling.
Hi, Geraldo. Good morning. I love your show.
Thank you.
All right. Does anybody realize that if the so-called innocent black men that have been taking this for the last year would have just stopped and listened to the police, that there would have never been a protest?
Well, I tell you what, that is to me the most immediate, urgent advice that has to happen. And, you know, Anthony, you're leading me into, you know, the person I think should be a mother of the year. I know a lot of people, because of her social situation, don't agree with me. But that woman who whopped her son up the side of the head, Tova Graham, the single mom, you're now going to hear an exchange on CBS this morning with the mother and the son, the 16-year-old Michael.
I understand how much my mother really cared about me, so I just gotta try and do better.
He's the highly embarrassed 16-year-old kid in the hoodie who thought he was tough until his mama showed up at the riots in videos seen around the world.
So you see her and you're like, uh-oh.
I'm like, oh, man, what is my mother doing down here? Like?
Did you have many of your friends next to you?
They was around.
Yeah, they was like, are you okay, Mike? You okay? And I'm looking at them like, is he okay?
Everybody knew my mother. Like, all my friends knew my mother.
Oh, this for real? Really?
See him down there doing what he was doing. We're not doing that.
Michael Singleton says his mother told him to go straight home from school the day of Freddie Gray's funeral, but he didn't listen because of his friends.
I'm not angry with him anymore. As long as I have breath in my body, you will not be on the street selling drugs, and you're just not going to live like that. Not with me.
All right, so there's the mom. I love her. There's the son, chastised, humiliated, embarrassed, as, you know, just think of this. No, man, ladies and gentlemen, think of this. Now, what if every mom was like that? What if there was a father in that home that was like that, who would go to his son and say, get your ass off this street, get that mask off your damn face, and get home. You're throwing rocks at cops? Get home, and you're going to go to school, and I'm taking away your computer, or whatever it is that parents do. I know how tough it is, but I am telling you that this mother was the shining example. And look at her family. She has six kids, no dad in the home. She works. No dad. Where's the dad? Where are the fathers of those children? Geraldo's Law, father's name on every birth certificate. Geraldo's Law, let's have every social program designed to bring that dad back home.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-GERALDO, 77-WABC.
Okay, 53 minutes after 10 o'clock, 7 minutes to 11 here on 77-WABC. What's the day like there now?
It is overcast, and it's going to be 62, so a little bit cooler than it was yesterday.
All right, about the same as Baltimore, and the forecast for the weekend still nice?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm not even going to lie to you. No idea what the weekend forecast is.
What are you doing?
I don't do anything. I just sit around.
Just sit around. And at night, what do you do at night?
Nothing. Right. Very boring life. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, ask me anything.
Because everybody's asking me to ask you this.
Sure.
This kid, because he's looked like a kid, who you had this confrontation with on Fox News the first night, and then again last night it looked like it was the same kid.
I wish they didn't run it last night. I don't know. I'm making him famous.
Well, that's the thing is they've made him famous. He's everywhere. Do you know who he is? What's his name?
I don't know. I don't like him. I have no interest in him whatsoever. There are so many more sincere voices out there, like the gentleman you heard at the end of the last block. He really seems like a grandstander to me. He's found a niche now. This is the biggest thing that ever happened. Listen, if you can turn it into something positive, God bless. But, I really resent that he's trying to prevent me from doing my job. That I just can't take. You know, I feel like knocking him out, you know, and I've got plenty of muscle with me. But, you know, we don't want to be the story. I hate that the congressman mentioned me as he was telling people to clear the streets last night. You know, I was the least offensive of the people who were there as the curfew was ending at that notorious intersection. And Elijah Cummings, the local congressman, who I really am a big fan of. I think that he's very conscientious. He, unlike the mayor, has been out every night. The mayor, we have a source that tells us the mayor here, the young, attractive mayor overwhelmingly elected here in Baltimore, that she has been staying outside the city in a gated community in Baltimore County. A very good source on that. A judge, in fact, is telling me that. So imagine that. You have a mayor who not only on Monday gave license to the rioters by saying give them space to riot or whatever the exact quote is. That was Monday. And now she's not even staying in town. She's staying behind a gated community in the suburbs. So, it's the problem is here's the real deal with me personally. And ladies and gentlemen, I get to your call. I don't mean to neglect you. There's so much going on here. I'm a celebrity, you know, like it or not, you know, just the fact that I've been on TV for five decades and, I'm kind of a one name wonder, it is a tremendous door opener. And the other hand, it's a tremendous baggage to carry around when you want in a story like this one just to be, an invisible observer. I don't want to change what's happening on the street, but I attract this attention. And then the media, you know, I walk around now. Every place I go, I got like 10 cameras on me.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
The big cameras, everyone's got a BlackBerry or an iPhone or an Android. And they're all, they got 200 demonstrators and 100 of them have their iPhones out. Everybody's a reporter. So they just have an echo chamber. You know, somebody says something and then they tweet it and then they Facebook it and then they Instagram it, this, that, and the other thing. You know, this malignant spread of this disinformation is something you have to live with and you do this job. I'll be right back.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we can do it if we're all in the hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Sure things will work out, they do it every time. But just let it be. No, 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 no. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, yeah. Just you and me.
6 minutes after 11 o'clock on this Thursday, the 30th day of April 2015. Welcome back to 77 WABC. I'm Geraldo along with Noam Layden. Mr. Layden, you okay?
I'm doing great, yeah, thanks.
Well, I miss you. I'm down in Baltimore. Noam is holding the fort down in the big city where last night you had 120. Is that the latest count on arrests in these demonstrations?
Yeah, I think that number will go up a bit, but yeah, 120 as of late last night.
And the police using what I believe to be a very effective and necessary action. They are not allowing the protesters in the big city to block traffic as they have been wont to do. And they, as a result, kept the city functioning last night as they made these many arrests. I'm going to take one call. No, let's go to the police chief. Baltimore
Fox
police chief is speaking right now. Let's go.
This morning, our task force charged with investigating the tragic death of Mr. Freddie Gray turned over the contents of that investigation to the state attorney's office. In many of these cases that I've been in for three different police departments, one of the things that the families always asked is, how long is it going to take? Out of due care for the family, the citizens, the police officers, I set a date, not the mayor, I set a date to get this done. I was communicating clearly I wanted a sense of urgency on this case to get the results out there. We dedicated 30-plus detectives. Their full-time job was focused on this case and only this case, including lab personnel, and academy personnel and homicide detectives in our FIT team. The family and the community and the public deserve transparency and truth. The task force heeded my call, and we have exhausted every lead at this point in time. But this does not mean that the investigation is over.
This is Anthony Bates, the Baltimore Police Commissioner.
That the investigation is over. If new evidence is found, we will follow it. If new direction is given by the state's attorney, we will obey it and we will follow through with the investigation. We will also further investigate at the request of the state attorney to bring forth any other witnesses that we find. I understand the frustration. I understand the sense of urgency, and so has the organization, and that is why we have finished it a day ahead of time, meeting and foregoing my conclusions already. I also know that getting to the right answer is more important than the speed. Making sure that we look and overturn every rock is more important than just coming forth and giving a document. I know that the state's attorney is committed to seeing justice, and from this point on, we will take all our directions from the state attorney because it is now their case. I will bring up Deputy Commissioner Kevin Davis to talk about the task force that he headed.
Good morning, and thank you, Commissioner. As the Commissioner stated, we turned over the case this morning to the state's attorney's office. However, that case remains very active, and we're continuing to work around the clock. Let me just walk you through the timeline once again. And we went over this, but we have some new information to share with you. On the morning of April the 12th, the police encountered Freddie Gray along the 1600 block of North Avenue, and that's when Freddie Gray ran from the police. We made an apprehension of Mr. Gray along the 1700 block of Pressbury. We stated earlier, and we're just confirming again today, that
this
the
is
first
the deputy
stop
chief.
Of the wagon after the apprehension site was at Mount and Baker. The second stop has been revealed to us during the course of our investigation and was previously unknown to us. We discovered this new stop based on our thorough and comprehensive and ongoing review of all CCTV cameras and privately owned cameras, and in fact, this new stop was discovered from a privately owned camera. So the new stop by our wagon was at Friedmont and Mosier. Again, that's new to us. And from there, the wagon stopped next at Druid Hill and Dolphin, then at North Avenue and Pennsylvania Avenue to pick up an additional prisoner. And then the wagon arrived at the Western District. From the Western District, Mr. Gray was then transported to shock trauma, where he died a week later. Our investigation continues. We continue to work in partnership with the state's attorney's office. Major Stan Branford, our homicide commander, is leading this investigation of very talented folks who are working very hard, not only for the police department, but for the city of Baltimore. And we look forward to additional progress in this case as time goes by. Thank you.
All right. They haven't noticed. They haven't said. I'm listening. I'm waiting for someone to say it was an accidental death.
They will be every 90
a suicide,
minutes, 2 hours, depending on events,
a murder. Well, they would say a murder. That's a legal conclusion, a homicide. So they are saying, and that what is interesting there, Noam, is that so they arrest the guy. Why did they arrest him? You know, that's we still haven't answered that. But after they arrest him, they throw him in the back of the prison van. And what happens? The prison van, unbeknownst to anybody until they assign 30 detectives to the case, makes a second stop. Why did it make that second stop? What happened as a result of that second stop, that unauthorized stop? Was it just for Dunkin' Donuts? Did they do it to rough him up in the back of that police van? It was only caught by a private surveillance camera. I don't know. But these are interesting questions, and they are not the kinds of questions that are designed or that will have the effect of quelling some of the concern here. Remember, the people in the streets thought they would get an autopsy, or at least the headline of an autopsy, tomorrow. So they did complete their investigation a day early. But what the investigation has revealed now, to me, Noam, raises more questions than it answers. You have this second stop. Why? What were they doing? He didn't say, but it sounded to me, in hearing it, that he was implying that something unauthorized happened.
Well, could unauthorized be as simple as making a stop that you shouldn't be making with prisoners in the back of your van to stop for, to pick up just exactly what you said, maybe something to eat? Or did, and where did they stop? And how long did they stop for?
Well, I'm going to check out this intersection as soon as the program's over, Fremont and Mosier. I'm going to check it out.
Well, Fremont's a main roadway in Baltimore. I know Fremont.
I don't know Mosier. I don't know if it's a fast food kind of place. Is it a dark and seedy kind of place? Is it a place you would take someone to lump them up? You know, those are the questions I don't know, but I certainly will try my best to uncover as we go forward. All right, let me get some of your comments, your questions. I'm going to start with Dan in Cleveland. My wife is from Cleveland. We're big Cavaliers fans. Go Cavs. Go LeBron. King James. Go ahead, Dan. What's on your mind?
Hey, Geraldo. You know, I'm watching this thing. 50,000 people are protesting this, and then they, beating of a black man, and then they have a national TV. A black woman beating her kid on TV. The lady should be arrested. She shouldn't have done that to her kid.
You don't think so? He wasn't hurt. He was embarrassed. He was humiliated. Those blows weren't, Dan, they weren't hurtful blows. I think that what you saw there was a mama bear protecting her cub who was thinking that he was a big old grizzly when, in fact, he was just a punk on the street throwing rocks. And, I'm not for spanking. I never spanked. My dad never spanked, but it certainly seemed in that context, you know, what was she going to do? Wag her finger in front of his face? I don't think that would have worked.
She just pulled his arm and pulled him to the side and talked to him. She didn't, I've never hit my kids like that.
Well, you and I are together in that, but I don't know. In that context, it was not. And ladies and gentlemen, and I appreciate your call. But, you know, what about East? I appreciate your critique. Thank you. Thank you very much. But I still believe what I believe. I think that in that context, that's exactly what that was called for. I know, Noam, you never hit your kids either, but were you offended by what you saw?
I wasn't, but I also, we've done this show before where we talk about the way parents handle their kids. And in different communities, that's acceptable, what you saw on TV. And that's why there were so many people applauding her.
It certainly seemed acceptable to me. And I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, if you have an opinion about that, let me know. In Long Island, Dan's on the line. What's up, Dan?
Okay, I think that spine was disconnected before he even got in the vent. And he was choked out before he got in the vent. So that's why they stopped. They had to figure out how to get their stories together and tell this guy. It's like the Sponger case. The guy that got the Sponger, how they try to cover that up, that he did it himself, his own suicide.
Yeah, I it wouldn't be the first time. Let me put it that way. As much as we love cops around here, it wouldn't be the first time. I just want to go back to this report, though. Listen to this again, ladies and gentlemen, and you tell me. Despite the Washington Post report that the prisoner indicated that Freddie Gray may have done self-inflicted damage to himself in the van by thrashing around, I believe that this theory is absolutely false. A much more credible explanation is that he had a seizure. It is a well-known fact that seizures can occur in asthmatic patients who are under stress. Please note that seizures are involuntary acts of uncontrollable muscle activity, which can result in spinal cord injury. And this is from an eminent surgeon at Johns Hopkins University Hospital. Now, that doesn't, you know, the caller, Dan from Long Island there, you know, it could be that he had the seizure. They stopped the van and say, what the WTF is going on in the van? They go back and they say, oh, crap, he had the seizure. And now look at him. He's a mess. What are we going to do? I mean, it could have been that they went to check him out in that unauthorized or unannounced or unscheduled stop, and he had died as a result of the seizure. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe they went back there and administered, I went to Brooklyn Law School, and I went there with a guy called Joey Allen, who was a police captain at the 90 precinct in Brooklyn. So, Joey was the old school. He's my age. He's passed away, but he was old school. He was taking night courses. He was actually my classmate at Brooklyn, but he was working mostly nights at the 90, and he was a swing captain throughout some of those Brooklyn precincts. So, you know, throughout my law school, I spent so much time in police precincts in and around Williamsburg and elsewhere in Brooklyn. And I tell you what, they were not, in those days, in New York, they were not kind to a lot of the perps that they brought in. They'd call them scumbags. They would, dehumanize them in many ways. They were outraged that these people were doing whatever they were doing in the community. Remember, that's the 60s. And they had truth serum in those days. What was truth serum in those days? It was a wet blanket that they put around the guy so when they beat him, it didn't bruise. You know, so you can have rough policing, and there's a history of it in this country. My goodness, down south, and I consider Maryland, we're south of the Mason-Dixon line where we are here. There's been some awful, awful stuff that has happened, and that's possibly what happened here. But I also think that this surgeon may be onto something with this whole involuntary seizure, because this guy had a lot of medical problems, including a severe asthma situation, and he could have had the seizure, and that could have led to it.
This is Geraldo, live from Baltimore, and the race debate in America, only here, 77 WABC.
25 minutes after 11 o'clock. Thank you very much for joining us here at 77 WABC. Geraldo here, along with Noam Layden. You know, one thing I have not yet discussed, and before I get to your calls, and I want to get as many of you from now on, from this point on in the program on, because I consider you our co-host. You are very helpful and insightful, and even if I disagree with your calls, everybody is welcome here. But think about this. I bet you haven't thought about this one. Yesterday, there were four helicopters in the air over some of these afflicted areas of West Baltimore. There were, without exaggeration, on each watch, many hundreds, if not 1,000 or more officers on duty at any one time. The officers come from Baltimore City, Baltimore County, all the surrounding counties in Maryland, Maryland State troopers. You know, New Jersey sent a substantial contingent. We were with them last night. New Jersey State troopers. There are troopers here from Pennsylvania. There is a substantial federal contingent, not to mention the National Guard. How much is this costing the taxpayer? Who will pay the bill? New Jersey didn't volunteer 150 state troopers for free. If they did Chris Christie ask the legislature for permission? I doubt it. I think that they are looking to the federal government, to the federal taxpayer, for reimbursement. So you add, when you calculate the damage of what has happened here in Baltimore, you have to figure not only the stores burned and the residences ruined and the elderly center destroyed and, you know, the whole neighborhood set back to the extent that it had any room to be set back. You also have to add the tremendous cost of keeping the peace. This has been a fantastically expensive experience. Okay, now up to you. Let's go from Oceanside. Ian is on the line. Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Geraldo? First, just real quick, those two security guys behind you yesterday, really, they stopped a lot of guys. It was really good to see while you were talking on the mic.
Thank you.
You know, and then I just want to say there is an underlying factor that all, I mean, and it's a shame, but, you know, I don't, for whatever reason, when a cop tells you, makes eye contact, says, come here, you got to just stop, you know, because whether it's the guy that tased, I mean, there's so many things, and that, you know, and it was wrong being choked to death, the heavy guy, I was totally against it, and on your show, Arizona, when he was choked in New York, but just do what the cops tell you.
Agreed.
You know, just do what they tell you, because not six cops didn't wake up going, let's kill somebody today.
Amen.
You know, and now there's burdens upon them. Everybody comes out. Nobody waits for the facts. I've seen it on TV shows, people bashing their head into the, you know, on cops and all these. And whatever happened, let it come out. Let it come out. I'm not a cop. I run my own companies. And I just wanted to touch off on a couple of things. You're dead right. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. That mother is a blessing for her son to get out there and do what she did.
Amen.
But it also takes my mom raised me, and I was fortunate to have my grandparents too. But I'm going to tell you, there is something I saw with a lot of, you wait until your father gets home. And that is something
that's
so
house.
Important for a kid to hear. And then to also have an incentive for the father to be there. And it isn't paying them. Right now, this whole thing is set wrong where you don't have a father in the house. How can a mother provide for six mouths and herself with a job? I mean, it's very hard. So then
very
the system hard. They set up was like the father leave. If he's there, you don't get nothing. Now, how does he provide for eight mouths? So it's a system that's gotta, like, from everything's gotta change. You gotta get those Crips and Bloods, those drug dealers that you were taught. I'm so proud of you for standing up for what's right. You said these are the drug dealers, and they're like, oh, we want to get people off the street. Yeah, so you can sell your drugs again, because the National Guard and the cops are there. Get these people, round them up, they're the death of your community. Then get the fathers home, and then let's get kids into, like that 90-year-old gentleman said, let's get them job from high school. You shouldn't have to go to college to learn how to turn a wrench or to do what I do, to run a construction company or to mow lawns or to do, these are jobs. And when people realize I can mow 10 lawns a day and make $500 a day, you know, let's see some fathers and sons opening up businesses together, have some skin in the game.
All right, Ian, what a wonderful call, and I appreciate that, and I admire you, and I like the fact that you are among the not only smartest, sharpest, fairest radio audience in the land, but you're tuning in here, and I appreciate 77 WABC.
What does the rioting in Baltimore mean to you? Geraldo, live from Baltimore. For New York, 77 WABC.
I mean, we need systemic change. This issue didn't come just because of Freddie Gray. This is an issue for marginalization from the past decades, racism from the past decades, discrimination from the past decades. And I don't condone what these people did around here. Neither do just one black person speak for all of black Americans. Let me say that, too. We need systemic change and reform.
All right, there's one of the conscientious protesters just a resident, really. I mean, but everybody's involved. You know, the Times did a great job, is doing a great job covering this. They can be snooty at times, but they, like Sabrina Tavernese, she's, pick up the Times if you can, just go online, maybe you get it. Let me just quote here. Years of industrial decline have left swaths of this city jobless. Half the people in Upton Druid Heights live in poverty. Half the people live in poverty, slightly more than in 1970. 64% of working age black men are not employed. I want to say that again. 64% of working age black men are not employed. And it has health consequences, as you might expect. Here she quotes, Sabrina Tavernese quotes one of the local experts. Look at life expectancy. You are old at 49. I mean, this is like New York, that the bad New York of the dark period, the 1970s. There's another great one. This is back into politics now. Amy Chozick and Michael Barbaro are writing about Hillary Clinton yesterday. And, you know, I know that she's gotten a lot of flack from that. I thought that she was terrific, though. I mean, but listen to this. Many criminal justice experts viewed Hillary's plea, quote, to end the era of mass incarceration, end quote, as repudiation of the policies of policing and prison building associated with her husband's administration. And the 1994 Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act, that law created tougher penalties for drug offenders and devoted $30.2 billion to put more police officers on the streets and build new prisons. So when we talk about 1.5 million missing African American men, we're talking about missing husbands, missing fathers, missing brothers. So 1.5 million missing African American men. I mean, dudes and dudesses, ladies and gentlemen, we gotta craft a new approach here. Here I. What? Oh, Bo Dita's on the line. What's up, Bo?
Hey, I was ready to come down to Baltimore. You look like you need a little help.
I would always welcome you at my back, my brother. What are you thinking about?
They jump ugly in your face. I'll be right down there on that.
I know.
Hey, listen to me. You know, there was one thing I wanted to bring up, and I've been watching your coverage great, like always. You know, I was involved with the Christopher Reed Foundation and the Miami Project for the beginning with the spinal cord injuries.
Right.
And something came to mind, and you brought it up also, was very astute of you bringing it up, was when he was going into that van, I saw other video where he stood up and he took a step into the van. Now, spinal cord injury, 80% of your spinal cord, if it was ever severed, you ain't moving much. You're not going to be moving much with your legs. Now, initially, when they were dragging him, it looks like his legs were lifeless. We agree. My thing is, I'm just wondering if this guy was jacked up, and I hope that they took toxicology when he entered the hospital, not 9 days later after he
died. So you're talking like angel dust or something like crazy,
yeah,
crack or something.
Remember those two dudes that raped the nun back in 81? They were on that angel dust. I hear it's starting to become very prevalent on the streets again. They're taking
regular
marijuana.
Oh, they have another name for it. The cop, when they killed the cop in Jersey City. Not Molly, another name. The cop the Spanish cop that got killed in Jersey City.
It's pretty prevalent, and they sprinkle it right on the marijuana, and it gets you crazy. Now, all I'm saying is my heart goes out to that family of the man. I don't want to see nobody dead. I never killed nobody. I don't want to see nobody killing anybody. But the point is, we really have to wait till the final results come out here. Let's not do it in a fast way. Let's do it in the right way. People are not going to
be
happy.
But let me ask you this. I dig that, and I appreciate your expertise in the area of spinal cord injury. But that second stop by that van, you hear about that? That it made an unpublicized second stop? Why'd they do that?
Well,
Why'd they stop?
It came out to be, now listening to, reading the Washington Post thing, he was banging around. Then they stopped to try to put his legs into shackles. I believe they have leg shackles on those benches.
We know about the leg shackle stop, but this is another stop.
Well, you know what? That's the part that's going to be under investigation. Now, if the cops, again, we don't know if it's true or not. Now, so you got witnesses that the cops then entered the thing there and did something. And look at Geraldo. I'm open for anything. After I saw what happened in South Carolina, you know, that's The guy should go to jail for the rest of his life, that cop down there that assassinated that young man down there in South Carolina. But all I'm saying is people have to realize by doing the other things does not help us to properly investigate something. If we got a bad cop or bad cops, we got to eradicate it. It's just too many good ones that were getting their butts kicked there by that I can't use the word retarded.
You can't use that word.
Mentally challenged mayor there with her stand down with those boulders hitting those cops. I mean, I was affected mentally, and every cop out there, how they was able to take that, I don't know how they were. Because if you were next to me, Geraldo, we were two cops, and they stopped lobbing those bricks at us, me and you would have said, feet don't fail at me now. We would have went right in there, and we would have dispersitated that crowd. And all you had to do is grab a couple, because you know the gang mentality, when they're together, they're all tough guys. Once you segregate them and separate them, then you're able to
or you do what that mother did.
Yeah, well, she, God bless her, man. I can tell you, son, God bless her. How son looked, was dressed like a ninja, and he said, come on, Ma. You're embarrassing me in front of my friends. Yeah, I look like a cool ninja. But listen, we've been having little problems here since you left. Last night I was over at Fox. They closed down 47th Street. The same guys that when we had the problem with Occupied Wall Street, the same culprits
same
show
guys.
Up. They don't even know why they're walking around. I mean, if they had a real reason what they're walking around about, they went over the internet and all they would, they just sit home. Hey, when's our next project?
I don't mind if they walk around as long as they don't block traffic,
don't
as long as they
Bentley.
Don't interrupt my life,
and
as long
Bentley.
As they don't stop
want them
businesses
sitting on
from
that
getting business.
I don't want them sitting on your Bentley either, Geraldo. I watch it outside. You know what I mean? Hey, be
that's
careful
definitely a
there.
Shoot to kill.
Hey, listen to me. As far as the Blood and the Crips go down there and the Black
Gorillas. Oh, they are so intense here. It is unbelievable. You know, having lived in New York all my life and knowing the city and has it's gone through its various incarnations and traumas, I've never seen a gang society so established as it is here.
Wow.
I mean, that's the economy they wear. Here's the blue ones. Here's the red ones. Mm. They deal, it's all about drug, you know, you control this.
I think
they have,
last year, Geraldo, what'd you have? 350 murders in Baltimore.
I don't know. We had two last night. I know that.
Well, all I know is Baltimore is a very small comparison of New York.
Yeah, it's not
that.
Even 700,000. Yeah.
And these are, I'll guarantee you 95% of the murders were black on black gang crime and all that kind of stuff. But the point we have to go at it here is, what is the solution, Rollo? Everyone's going to ask you. Here's my solution, and I want you to listen to it carefully. Right now, they want to give $50 billion to the Iranians to sign this Fugazi nuclear treaty. How about we start with that $50 billion from the United States Congress? How about we take some schools that have been shut down, reopen, have retired cops and active cops go in there and give classes with sports, basketball, like the old PAL, but follow me, and start bringing some trade schools into those communities of the minority communities, start teaching these kids a trade so they are doing something so when they finish with it, they could go out and get a job. Everybody doesn't need a damn college education. I didn't have one. There's not enough painters. There's not enough plumbers. There's not enough people that do real
agreed
work.
Agreed with all of that, and I'm telling you this. This is what happened here this week. When they burned, that drugstore was a very symbolic. When they worked years to get a major chain in, because you got a lot of elderly here, these mm-hmm. very, very poor people. Now, CVS took the chance. They came in. They destroyed their store. Who's going to invest to build again there? Who's going to insure the investment of building something that helps out like that? I think you need to start all over. You got to throw out all of these welfare laws as they exist now. You've got to design a federal program that is family-based to get people back together, that the husbands, you got to stop incarcerating people for nonviolent drug offenses. We've got to really rethink this in a massive way, and we've got to do it without these cockamamie programs. You get a project. You get a project. The project has funding for 2 years. The funding ends, the project ends. It's ridiculous.
Geraldo, I really want to be part of making the kids from the inner communities meet cops, retire cops, and current cops. They're not the bad guys, because the only interaction they have is when they're tossing them, when they're asking for identification, or they're locking them up for a crime. My whole thing is I want them to realize that cops are human beings with families.
I got it, but I got to take a break,
and
man.
Let's do it. I'll do it with you. We'll get some
thanks
sports
for stopping
guys,
by.
Right?
My favorite police hero X. What a guy, Bo Dietl.
Live from Baltimore, inside the race debate, this is Geraldo. Only here, live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
55 minutes after 11 o'clock, I'd like to give you my plan. I'm going to stay here, Noam, through tomorrow. I think it's a very important day tomorrow, Friday. Saturday, Malik Shabazz, the former head of the new Black Panther Party, will be the group he is with now, a group of black lawyers. I forget the official name of it, for justice, are holding a huge rally on Saturday. So what I'll do is, God willing, inshallah, I'll stay here, do a special for Fox News Saturday night, and God willing, get out of here either late Saturday night or early Sunday and get home to you, not to you, but to my family. You too on Monday. But I think that in many ways, the promos they're running now, I notice Craig Schwab, our program director here at 77 WABC, is emphasizing this, the fact that we're here in Baltimore and in New York as that develops. But this race issue and the fact now with Hillary making it an issue in the presidential campaign, I think about time. I mean, and it is an unfathomable phenomena unique to America that one of the many component races of the American people has this situation where 1.5 million men, young adults, are incarcerated and missing from society. This is the result of all that. And how ironic it is that Bill Clinton started it, and now Hillary Clinton wants to change it. Can she? Is her idea the best? Or are the ideas being presented by Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and the Republicans? I'll see you right here tomorrow.